I want to, first of all, read the seven headings. We've got seven facts about the book of Revelation. Number one, how many times am I going to say this? Revelation 1:1, the major theme is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to come back to that. Number two, Revelation 1:9 to 11, the book was written in 96 A.D. by the Apostle John, the brother of James. Then number three, Revelation 1 and 3, Revelation is a book of prophecy. Number four, Revelation is a book of symbols. Number five, Revelation is a book of sevens. Number six, Revelation is a book of judgments. And finally, blessing is promised to the one who reads the book of Revelation. Because it is, we're going to read the first chapter together. We read the first eight verses, but we're going to read Revelation chapter 1. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, not Christ Jesus, not the Lord Jesus, but Jesus Christ, emphasizing the humanity. Jesus is listed before Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed, this is the first of seven blessings in the book of Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him which is, which was, and really, literally, who is coming. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. From Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. That's the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, who is coming, which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. By the way, the Lord willing, after we get to this subject, I'm going to show you pictures of all of those locations. And Ephesus, and it doesn't matter where you start, Ephesus, you go from Ephesus up to Pergamos, and from Pergamos, then you go up to Smyrna, and then across to Thyatira and Sardis and Laodicea. The order, you can just follow like that. I had the privilege of being there again just 2 years ago in November. I've had the privilege of being there about four times now. And so I have a general idea of what I'm reading when I read these locations. All right, verse 12. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And that phrase comes out of the book of Daniel. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of Niagara Falls, many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Again, amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, the seven stars, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, I want to continue to emphasize, back to your notes, Revelation 1:1, the major theme is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not of John the Divine, as in so many Bibles. 65 books have declared Jesus Christ to be the promised Messiah, John 1:41. You all know where that verse is, Christ, by interpretation, Messiah, which by interpretation is Christ. Now, there's some of these things, and I think that perhaps I'm guilty of taking too many things for granted. And I don't want to take things for granted. I don't want to assume that everybody understands. But turn to John chapter 1 and verse 41, and always remember where this is, because you may need it someday. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and said unto him, We have found the Messiah, that's the Old Testament word, which being interpreted is the Christ, that's the New Testament word. And so Messiah is the Old Testament, the anointed one, Christ in the New Testament. Now, in these books, he's the promised Messiah. Back to your note, he's the son of David, Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. He's the son of man, Matthew 16 and verse 13, which links his history with the book of Daniel. He's the son of God in Romans 1:4. And the rightful king of the earth, Ezekiel 21, he is now king of kings. That is in Revelation. In Revelation, he is presented as the king of kings, Revelation 19 and 16. It is impossible to fully understand these titles apart from the Old Testament. Now, I want you to pause and think about the person of Jesus Christ. I said there'll have to be some repetition, because we can't understand if we don't really get a hold of this. My question to you is, what do you think of Jesus Christ? What do you think of Jesus Christ? I asked that question to a man in the hospital, and I can still remember his response. I said, Mr. Fellner, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And he said, well, I guess a man has to believe something. What a good answer. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? I took down my little notebook of 1952. When I was on my way to New York and going by train, I stopped in the city of Saskatoon on the way on the 30th of October, 1952. And I heard Chuck Templeton. Anybody know that name? I heard Chuck Templeton preach. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about him. He was a Youth for Christ preacher back in the late 40s and early 50s. Way back there, Chuck Templeton. He had evangelistic meetings with United Church in Saskatoon the night I heard him in the arena, about 6,000 people. His wife sang a solo that night, and before she sang, She gave a wonderful testimony. He divorced her. But that night I got to do it. And I went back to my hotel and I wrote about this man. We heard Chuck Templeton. There was nothing wrong with what he said. It was what he didn't say that bothered me. Now, I didn't know anything about the man when I wrote that. But it wasn't what he said, but what he didn't say. Now, Chuck Templeton left the ministry. He became editor of McLean's magazine, became a radio commentator. He was a leader of the Liberal Party in Ontario. And now, here's some of the latest statements. Chuck Templeton calls Jesus my hero, but he refers to the virgin birth as the stuff fairy tales are made of. He doesn't believe that kind of thing. He throws that all out. Now, I brought along a lot of magazines to try and make you think. Who was Jesus? Did you know there's been a real theological battle going on? This was over a movie on Jesus that was published back in 1988. And here's how it begins. I almost feel as though I have to ask the Lord to forgive me for reading it. But here's the first statement. Jesus has brief on-screen sex with his first wife, Mary Magdalene, and later commits adultery. Judas is a hero. The strongest and best of the apostles, Paul, is a hypocrite and a liar. Now, that's the first statement in Time magazine regarding this film. It's a lot of other junk. I don't know whether I should even bother reading it. To me, it's all blasphemy. When Jesus said, I'll read this one statement. When Jesus said he was the Son of God, he did not mean to be taken literally. That's here in print. And so I'm asking you, what do you think about Jesus Christ? Now, that's what the book of Revelation is about, and that's why I'm asking you the question. Come now a little closer up to date. What's the date of this magazine? McLean's again. This one's McLean's. Is Jesus really God? Do any of you ever bother looking at that kind of stuff? The newly elected moderator of the United Church of Canada, this is December the 15th, 1997, caused an uproar when he denied that Jesus is God. And he denied that he physically rose from the dead. Now remember, these are people in high places that are doing this. He's the moderator of the largest Protestant church in Canada. And he denies the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. I go from that one. Jesus at 2000. Time magazine. December 6, 1999. It would require a much exotic calculation, however, to deny that the single most powerful figure, not merely in these two millenniums, but in all history, has been Jesus of Nazareth. I'm glad for that statement. Of all history, he stands out. But then the author goes on to write, and this doesn't make me have the right kind of feeling. Gives me the wrong kind of feeling. We have little that might be called history concerning the man. Now, that's a total rejection of the Bible we're studying. Because the whole Bible, as I showed you last time, is about Jesus Christ. And yet men write that off as if it doesn't count. Jesus at 2000. McLean's, November 29th, 99. Then, Faith Today. You'd all know of Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. And this made me heartsick. That on the cover, it says, is Jesus still the only way? Now, I could take time to go inside and read some of the things in there, but these are evangelicals now. You see, before, it was outside the evangelical circle. Now, inside, is Jesus the only way? And I found this article in Time magazine, January the 17th, to almost make me sick. What would candidate Jesus do? Now, I'm not going to waste your time reading all of this junk that I have with me. But I'm bringing to your attention that all about us, there are people who are claiming to be evangelical Christians, but they don't accept the Jesus of the Bible. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Before we ever study the book of Revelation, is Jesus what the Bible says he is? Is he God's Lamb who came to take away our sin? Is he the Son of God incarnate? When you think of Jesus Christ, do you believe that he's God manifest in the flesh? If Jesus is not what the Bible says he is, then he can't do what the Bible says he can do. But because he is who he is, he can do what he claims he's going to do. And one of these days, he's going to invade this earth, and he's not going to ask anybody to give him permission to do it. That's going to be the revelation that we're talking about when he comes back again. It's no wonder this little paper came from WEC Missions. I think they're publishing it four times a year. You all know the Worldwide Evangelistic Crusade. Do you know anything about it? But the number of missionaries from North America has dropped by about 10,000. There are 10,000 less missionaries today than 12 years ago. Now, with the population explosion, that doesn't make very much sense. But what is the reason for the drop in interest in missions? Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's the drop in the interest in who Jesus really is. The revelation of Jesus Christ is a wonderful theme. And one day, he's going to let the world know who he is. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of David. He's the Son of Man. He's the Son of God. Revelation or apocalypse. You're all acquainted with that word, are you? Apocalypse. The word apocrypha. How many have heard about the apocrypha? The apocrypha means concealed. The apocalypse means revealed. Just the opposite. And this last book in the Bible, it's not the apocrypha of Jesus Christ, not something concealed about him, but here's something that's revealed. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. This unveiling, this revelation, pulling back the veil, this veiling will show, fully reveal who he is. John 18. The first time, Jesus said he was the king. When he comes again, he will show he is king. Now, some of these things I am repeating from some other studies, but we can't leave them out because they have to do with Revelation. Now, will you turn in your Bible to John chapter 18? John chapter 18. This always thrills me when I read it. John 18 and verse 33. John 18, 33 through 37. I told you, I think last night, we would be back to this portion. Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. You all have the portion? He called Jesus, and he said unto him, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Mine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." May I just insert something in passing, and don't forget this. Look up the word world in any good concordance. That word is cosmos, which means world system. Put a note in the side of your head or in your note. The word world here, you know, some places it's age. But here, it's world system. My kingdom, Jesus said, he didn't say it wasn't of this world in which we live. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world system. Now, if my kingdom were of this world system, then would my servants fight? Isn't that the way anybody in this world gets anything? The world system is fight for it. Jesus is going to die for it. He's not going to fight. My kingdom is not of this world system. Then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou that I am a king?" Now look at these words. "To this end was I born." Who's talking? Jesus. Did Jesus confess that he was a king? Wouldn't you say that's a good confession? "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Now, let's go from there to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And may the Spirit of God make it as real to your heart, so that these things will cause your heart to rejoice like my heart rejoices in the truth as I read it. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and reading from verse 13, 14, 15. "I charge thee in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession. Now, what was his good confession before Pilate? Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus said, "Yes, I was born a king." Right? Can you all see the connection? Now, verse 14. "That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." And may I, because we're studying it, put in the word "until the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's what this is talking about. It's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which in his times he will say, who is the blessed. It doesn't say who in his times he will say who is King of Kings, but who will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, we're going to find that in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. But when Jesus came here 2,000 years ago, he said he was king. When he comes the next time, he's going to show who's king. And our eyes are going to behold the king in all his beauty, says Isaiah. We're going to see him. The king, not merely going to say it, and I don't want that to be misunderstood, but I want you to see the difference. When Pilate said, "Are you a king?" Jesus said, "Yes, I'm a king," but he sure didn't look like it. Pilate offered him to the crowd. They crucified him. But when he comes back the next time, there'll be no question. He will show he is king. Now, the next statement I have in my notes, don't follow false Christ. Turn to Matthew 24. And we need this. If somebody comes and says he is Christ in these days, don't forget what's in your Bible. Matthew 24, verse 23 through 26. Verse 23, "If any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." And here is a promise that you'll never pull out of a promise box. "For there shall arise false Christs." Not just one, plural. False Christs, plural. "And false prophets." Now, I'm not taking time to follow up some other scriptures on that subject. But you know how Peter begins? Maybe you should keep your eye. I will go to one. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I think I mentioned to you when I was, or was I listening to tape or something? 1988, when I had my heart surgery. Went to see Dr. Moskovich, I name him. And it was just at the time when Jim Baker had fallen from grace. And he asked me the question, how can intelligent people follow a man like that? And I said, read 2 Peter chapter 2. And then I thought, well, he's a Jew and he hasn't got a New Testament. I said, have you got a New Testament? Oh, yes, I have. And so he read it. And he told me afterward that he learned something from reading it. Now, 2 Peter chapter 2, would you look at it? Verse 1. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." False teeth are not good teeth gone bad. False teeth never wear true teeth. And so when you are reading about false prophets, they're not true prophets that have gone back. They never were true. And you're reading about false teachers, they never were true. They wouldn't be false. And an old brother in Duluth told me years ago, I think he told my boy when I was standing there, "Be true to your teeth now and they won't be false to you later." All right. Now back up to Matthew. And let's read from Matthew 24, where I was, verse 24. "There shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before." Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, don't go after them. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, don't go after him. Believe it not, for there won't be any mistake when he comes. When Christ comes as the lightning, cometh out of the east, and shineth unto the west, even so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, isn't that a tremendous thing? When Jesus comes at the revelation, all the lights of heaven are going to be turned out. The sun's going to be darkened. The moon's not going to give her light. The stars are going to fall from heaven. And the only one that people will be able to see will be Jesus Christ. The spotlight will be on him. What a revelation that's going to be. That's what the revelation's all about. As the lightning comes out of the east, you can't see anything else. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Now, these scriptures start making sense after we put it together. I'll write the next one. The revelation of Christ will be unmistakable. See why I put that in there? It'll be like the lightning coming out of the east to the west. This will be history's greatest event. Now, let's turn to Revelation. We've got to read it again and again and again. Revelation chapter 1, where I read verses 7 to 8. Just out of the book of Revelation, first of all. Revelation 1, 7 and 8. Behold, pay attention, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and who is coming, the Almighty. Chapter 3, Revelation 3, and verse 11. Behold, remember I told you to watch that word, behold? And here it is again. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Chapter 16 of Revelation. And in verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Now that's not talking about the rapture. There's a difference between the coming of a thief and the coming of a bridegroom. A bridegroom is expected, a thief is not expected. And when Jesus comes as a thief, he's not coming for us, he's coming to this world as a thief. All right, we go from there to the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Verse 7, chapter 22 and verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Verse 20, And he which testified these things said, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.